turn back to Romans 12. The 12th chapter of Romans. And again today, verse 2. But three different words. Last week we looked at be not conformed to this old world. And today, be ye transformed. Would you join with me as we approach our God? Our Father, it is a good day for any of us and all of us. When Christ becomes our all and all, and the world fades into a far distant background, and we see Christ high and lifted up, and in him how rich that the saints of God are, some coming along to see that, hopefully all of us, so that we can always gather in his name and we can leave singing praises to our God for the great work of salvation and for the very heart of the Lord Jesus that loved the people so much that he suffered their eternal hell. Lord, in the remaining portion of this service, be exalted once again. Be high, be lifted up. In our thoughts, in that spiritual vision, sight, be there for your children this day. And as trying as life is now and difficult as it is, let us say goodbye to the world, to jobs, to careers, to everything. And welcome in the Spirit, thy Spirit, blessed Lord. And through him, instruct, rebuke where necessary, reprove when needed, and enhance to all the great riches in Christ Jesus. Now with the world at our feet enable us to ascend to the very height of heaven and be honored and be glorified, be exalted, Lord Jesus, by thy Spirit. Help these dear souls. Bring them on to know, to love, to labor for Christ our Lord and our Redeemer. Now give us of thy spirit, therewith wisdom, divine unction, and a good, clear, sounding voice for thy honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Romans 12. Let's just read the first two verses once again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Of course, that's always first. If we receive, if we become, if we do, it's always by the mercies of God. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Folks, how would you like to be in an assembly where the saints of God knew practically and experientially that holy, reasonable service, that which is acceptable unto God? You think he might elevate us? You think he might instruct? You think he might give us large hearts there? Hearts of thanksgiving and praise. That's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. Be ye transformed. That is the opposite, total opposite of conforming to the world. The world being a pattern in which your life is being molded. Transform from all that is in the world. I told you last week, we looked at 1 John 2:16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everything falls under one of those three categories that will destroy any of us. And all of those And if we're not there, then we're going to live a life of following sense, S-E-N-S-E. And all of those are the direct path of all unconverted. In one or all of them, lust, flesh, eyes, and pride. That's the path of every unconverted person in this world. Now, when the Spirit of God quickens you, that is, makes you alive, first stop will be Calvary. Now, that view will expand in time as you grow and develop as a child of God. And there you'll see that could be the form of a man. Perhaps, if any had come lately, they wouldn't know. But they're hanging on that cross, that bloody, beaten, torn figure. That's what God, and that's where God leads. First stopping place for any of the children. And on your journey, there is faith and repentance, both being the gift of God given to you. And then, won't be long after Calvary, after a period of thanksgiving, after a period of living kind of without problems, then you enter into a lifelong battle. The world will always be drawing you into conformity through its lifestyle, its dress, its ambitions. And as you are drawn into that, it is everything that pleases a life of sense, living after the old man. On the other side, opposite of that, is a life of faith. It is drawing you to obedience, complete, full, surrendered obedience to the will of God and to the Word of God. Folk, one of these two, flesh or spirit, is directing your path. Flesh directs you after the world. The spirit directs you in a path after the Word and will of God. The world promises you honor, pleasure, possessions, great things. If you continue making plenty of money, then this old world will provide a nice playground for you. But I remind you of Paul, what he wrote to Timothy, writing to all of us, that the love of money is the root of all evil, which Timothy, while some have coveted after, have erred. That is, they've been seduced from the faith. And once one is led away by that root of evil, that dollar bill, then they're going to be pierced through with many sorrows. David was seduced by Bathsheba. And because that he yielded to that temptation, the sword never left his house. But listen to our Lord. What is a man profited, Matthew 16, if he gains this whole world and loses his own soul? I'm fully convinced that the rich man in hell would have traded all his riches for just a little relief in his eternal torment. One said that anybody in hell would give this world 10,000 times over, if they could, to have the pain reduced just one degree. Give this old world. Now, folk, what are you in pursuit of today? Don't let it drag you down to hell. Whatever it is, outside the will of God. Paul continued his warning to Timothy, flee those things and follow after righteousness, faith, love, patience, and fight the good fight of faith. You're all going to be in a battle. World on one side, faith on the other, made operative, active in your soul by the Spirit of God. Faith forever will be in the battle with the flesh, your flesh, with the world, and with the devil. And if you're overcome by either, eternal destruction waits you at the end of your journey. We don't seem to have a concept of hell anymore. And we've lost the weight of the word eternity. We're so time-centered, so time-conscious. Tomorrow. I got to get all this done. and you lose today. And you lose the opportunity in the day by your mind considering the world and what's in the world. But you gain the hours of the day if by faith you're led into obedience to your Lord. And you should labor in prayer against the least stirrings of covetousness. I want that. I need that. But that right now is just a small little seed in your heart. But all it needs is light and a little moisture, and you keep running it in and over and through your mind. And that little seed of covetousness will sprout, eventually destroying you. The first step on the downward spiral path to destruction. It might be no more than just sitting there and looking at the fruit on that forbidden tree, tarrying a few seconds, and looking up, and because you know, you parents know, that the first thing your children are going to try is when you tell them they cannot do something. And they catch your back turned and they're going to try what you told them they couldn't. That's human nature. Sitting there looking at that old piece of fruit up there might outshine all the others, but I doubt it. Or, as mentioned last week, Achan looks in that tent. There's a wedge of gold. There's some shekels of silver. And there's a Babylonish garment. Achan, don't be looking at that. That gold and those shekels of silver, that belongs not in your bank account. That belongs in the treasury of Israel. And Achan, that Babylonish garment, it doesn't belong on the back of your wife or your daughter, but it belongs in the fire. Quit looking at it, take it out, and throw it in the fire immediately. You sit there looking at it, and it grows in its magnificence, and it grows in, if I have that, I can give to my wife. She will be the best looking woman in all Israel. No, Achan, she'll be dead. All your children, dead. And all your possessions. Eve, don't linger beneath the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Certainly give no time for your enemy and your old flesh to tell you that's the best tasting fruit in all God's garden. How good that might taste, or how high that might elevate me in life, enabling me to know good and evil. Oh, after she ate that fruit, one bite, she knew what good was and what evil was. Now, she didn't know the extent of what good was because she didn't know evil. But when she found out what evil was, then all her goodness took wings of the morning and it disappeared. You sitting there under that tree, the enemy of Christ in your soul telling you, God didn't really mean that. Why should he deprive you of the best tasting fruit in the garden? Oh, he knows. If you partake of that, then you're going to know good and evil. And instead of the world or its suggestion, children, do not let it lay hold of you and continue tightening you in its grip. You young folks start out in life, and there's a lot of things that catch your eye. But don't hold on to that, which will destroy your soul. Let it go. Quit looking at it. Quit thinking about it, how it will enhance life. You'll be the best looking girl, or you'll be the most handsome young man. You dress like this. Instead of the world or suggestions from the wicked one, flee every desire of the old flesh, and let not the world ruin you, catch you in its trap. Now, holding your place there, I want you to turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39, beginning with verse 1, as so many of the Psalms, David. And what a heart David had. He lost it though. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Lord, make me to know mine end, in the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Every individual here, you're one heartbeat away from eternity. You're just one accident, not even your fault, and you're in eternity. The strongest of men and women, how frail I am. Verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. You do not believe that. You do not know the extent and the weight of that, until you start looking back. And you got here in just a day or two. If the Lord tarries, the Lord spares you. By the time you turn around once or twice, you'll be looking through my eyes, old, hearing through my ears, and getting about in an old frame. How frail. My days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Folks, if you could look at everything in light of eternity, everything, mine age is as nothing before thee. Barely every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Pause right there and think on that thing, these things. Surely every man walketh in a vain show, surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. He heapeth up all these things. We don't know who will get them. If the world lasts much longer, probably the government. And you labor for your children. And you like to leave them with things. But they may never get the benefit of what you left. This world is sitting on a ticking time bomb. Destruction is before you everywhere you look. The wicked in high places. Now that's government, but it's also man's mind. Those high places. Be not conformed. Let not this old vanishing world of vanity ruin your soul. Be ye transformed. Now Proverbs 22, next book over. Next book over towards the New Testament, I should say. Proverbs 22, and then we're going back to the New Testament. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. If you want to leave something, leave a loving favor behind you and a good name. So don't let the world conform you into its image. You be conformed into the very image of God. Staying in the book, visiting the closet frequently, seeking guidance and help from above, and live not in time or for the world, but for eternity. And for Christ. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, beginning with verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured. That's the same word as transformed in Romans 12. Transfigured is used one of the time when this same incident is repeated. Then we'll get to the last. There's only 4 words. Jesus Christ was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now we get our word metamorphosis from transformed, transfigured. And metamorphosis means simply a complete change over time. And you do not end up with that you started with. little old caterpillar. It'll attach itself to under a limb or to the trunk of the tree with a little button of silk. And then it spins a covering around it, known as the cocoon. And over time, inside a new body forms. And the hormones secreted activate the nervous system of that new body. And by sharp claws and wings, it pulls apart that which was its place of change. And it escapes. It comes out a completely different body, no longer bound to this old world, taking an hour to crawl a foot. No, it flies now into the heavenlies, looks back on the earth, I was a caterpillar. Now I have all these colors, beautiful colors. Now I have two wings that lift me up over what I used to at one time was held to. And so the child of God, 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Over time, you come out of that shell of the old man, and your thinking and your motive and your deeds are different. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. And flying around, you look back to this old world, knowing vanity, vanity of vanities. Nothing there for me. I was trapped there, but I'm free. Not held on the ground anymore. The folks seeing is the master of the unconverted. But you let one be converted, and Jesus Christ becomes the master of your heart and life. The folk, you can accept Jesus by today's evangelistic methods. You can accept Jesus and remain as you are, but you cannot be converted and remain as you were. You're going to come out a different human being. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners from their sins. You may have heard, many of you may have heard, may have even read something of the Welsh Revival. And G. Campbell Morgan visited there with another pastor evangelist, amazed at what all was taking place when God visited that place. And he said the drivers of the old team of horses working in the mines and various other places, exporting goods, hauling off garbage. He said the miners, the old horse was used to being cursed and beaten and would drive off under a weight and load the driver could care less about his animal. And when God, by His Spirit, worked in the heart of those old men, Mr. Morgan said that they had a hard time getting their horses to obey them. They were used to being beaten and being cursed. But when God saves a man, God delivers him from what he was. And behold, all things become new. Now your change will not in the beginning be as great as a butterfly from a caterpillar, but over time it will be that great. Jesus transfigured did not become something new. He could not become more, because though a man, he was God in flesh. All that happened when those three disciples saw this scene was that the veil of flesh was moved back just a little, and Jesus Christ was transformed, was transfigured before them. Over time, you will experience what these three disciples did that day on that mount. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, does not change, but I tell you something that will. You're thinking of him. Your thoughts, your views. He's rather small, though he is Lord when you call on him to deliver you from your sins. But at the end of a Christian's life, Jesus Christ is not what he was at the beginning of their Christian walk. He's different. It's not that he changed. It's just that God gave you a better view. Move back a little and you begin to see him in this light, in this aspect, kind of like a diamond. It's cut, polished. And they can spin it in the showcase window. And its brilliance, you see in this cut, and then it spins, and you see it in that cut. And that's Jesus Christ to a redeemed sinner. Every which way you turn that diamond, it's reflecting greater light. And so we all, 2 Corinthians 3:18, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. That's the third different word used for transformed, transfigured, and changed. We, without a veil on our face, no covering on our eyes, we, looking in a glass, we see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. And with that view, we are transformed, we are transfigured, we are changed. Paul said, one image to another, to glory. You were earthbound, child of God, but now you have those moments of time, brief as they are, you have those moments of time where you're flying around in the heavenlies, and you're not an earthbound creature. I'm sure all of you have heard of D.L. Moody, the noted evangelist in America. And he told about a surgeon that came in to his patient. And the surgeon said to the patient, "Now I want you to take a good look at your wound. I want you to see it. Look at it. Look at it closely. And then when you've got that in your mind, I want you to turn your eyes away from the wound, and I want you to fix them on me. And you keep them on me until I've finished. And you'll have help. So dearly beloved, take a good look at your wounds. What sin has done, how it's marred you, how it's affected your mind and your heart. Look at them good, all the wounds. And then fix your eye on the great physician. And he'll heal those wounds." Now would you go back with me to Romans 12? "Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed, be ye transfigured, be ye changed by the renewing," that is, renovation of your mind. Now there be times as your house gets older that there are things that you must renovate. Maybe it's an older house and has lead pipes. And you found out that leads could be toxic for you. So you changed them to PVCs. Maybe one day that you hear this of the PVC pipes and you have to renovate the plumbing again, or the wiring, it's old, the insulation is worn off in places, and there must be a renovation of the wiring of your house. Maybe the roof leaks. It's got to be replaced. As in the physical, so the spiritual. Renewing of your minds. Renovation of your thinking. More light, your thinking changes over time. It's now different than what it was a week after you were converted, or 10 years after you were converted. And what of the disciples at the end of a 3-year journey? Their thoughts of Christ and how he changed. I mean, they were sore amazed when he said, "Wind cease, waves be still." Or when he opened the eyes of a blind man, or he unstopped deaf ears, or they saw lepers that he just spoke the word and they were completely cleansed. No cure for that, but he cured them. They witnessed a dead man being raised to life. For some, We thought that the work of God was finished at Calvary. And now, and this is renovation of the mind, now it was up to us to decide. We must make a right choice. God did his part. Now man must do his part. And this old cliche, God voted for you, the devil voted against you, now your vote is what sends you to hell or to heaven. All that's well, I can think of some words, but I won't use them. Renewing, renovation of your mind. And it takes away your eyes from objects in which your mind was concentrated and fixed upon as a young person. I'd like to have that when I begin work. And get that and this. In Christ, God takes your eyes, refocuses them, puts different objects that you are to concentrate upon, and gives you new things. So your mind is changed, it's renovated, it's transformed, it's transfigured. When trials come, child of God, and afflictions are sore one upon the other, and grief comes to you as did the messengers to Job, telling of his animals gone, his herdsmen gone, his shepherds gone, then his sheep and his children gone. And to add, the wife says, curse God. Instead of sinking down under a weight of one wave of trouble upon another, one affliction added on top of another affliction, you think, I can't last in this. I can't endure this. Well, you just fix your eyes on the shepherd, the great physician, eternal God in the man Christ Jesus. And you begin looking up and you think, my God's got all things in control. Why am I fretting over that little problem? My God is all powerful. This would not have come had he not sent it for my good. And your mind changes. Or when darkness is so thick about you, you seem to think it can be felt. And in that darkness, you begin thinking, I never was a Christian. A Christian cannot be as I am. You're kind of like David. His city's burnt. His wife and children have been taken. And his men are about ready to stone him. And it is said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. And right before that last wave wipes you under for good, God will give you a new sight. God will change, renovate your thinking. You'll be like David, oh my soul, why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him. And our by renovation, renewing, transforming your mind. It's like that old eagle that goes through moat, grows new feathers. As the eagle renews its strength and mounts up to to the heavenlies, so the child of God burdened down with life. And God fixes your eyes, children. By renovation, renewing of mind, you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you endear, and God brings you out. Like a caterpillar on the ground. Now, folk, do not think that once you've soared a little bit into the heavenlies, that you're not going to find yourself struggling, being earthbound again. Just watch your eyes. Place them on the surgeon, and he'll bring you out. I hope as you've sat here attentive, that my words have not fallen on deaf ears, and that the question of eternal weight is, am I being changed, being transformed? All of you ask yourself, where am I today compared to 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Am I continually being transformed as I see and I hear Christ in His Word? Are you, dear one? Has the Spirit's work in your heart months back, a year back, has it faded? Maybe your carelessness, neglect of His work within, as the old house needing renovation, you haven't done it. One remark of the old 19th century writers, I think it was 19th century, how upsetting it would be for an architect that has had a building rise from the foundation, and it was a magnificent building structure. Oh, how upsetting it would be for him to witness the decay of that once object highly prized. Or of a parent, after years of training, education, provisions, and as a parent, you see your hopes that you had gone by the way your child is living. Architect, the parent, but how much greater the Spirit of God. Oh, how is He grieved your soul when He sees His work in your soul decaying into lukewarmness or even a cold condition. Spiritual duties don't mean as much today as they did a year ago. Then the opposite of that, what joy and what delight he must see with the image of Christ developing in you, expanding and broadening in you. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renovation, renewing of your mind, proving to self and all around what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God.